Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 10. And let me make a couple of announcements. Shirley's brother-in-law that got the kidney Saturday evening. The kidney started functioning. It's the first time he's had a functioning kidney in 8 years. So they're overjoyed. And Kathleen's still doing well. Very thankful for that. I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, and then we're going to pray. Verse 22, Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Our Father, in the blessed name of your Son, our Savior, our Lord Jesus, our Master, our Redeemer, indeed our shelter in the time of a storm, as a rock in a weary, weary, weary land. And Lord, this world gets so weary, and we get so weary of it, but Lord, we have such a blessed hope, glorious hope in you. And Lord, we ask that you would, in your blessed power, blessed grace, please quicken my mind, quicken my heart, that I might be able to preach with power, and they know us from the Spirit of God. And Lord, would you give us that faith that makes the invisible visible? Would you give us that faith that causes the unseen things to be seen? May we see our Lord Jesus. May we see our blessed, blessed refuge we have in him, and our hiding place in him, and our union with him. And Lord, we thank you for what you've done for all of us, this whole congregation, what you've done for our brothers and sisters in other places. Lord, you're indeed good to Israel. Oh, you bless your people with great abundance. And I pray that you'd be pleased to continue to bless and continue to strengthen Kathleen and bless her and comfort her. And Lord, have mercy on her sons and her husband and show them their need of Christ. Pray for Danny. Continue to pray for him. Bring him to hear the gospel when he gets able. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done for Paul, her Shirley's brother-in-law and sister, what you've done for them. Lord, we acknowledge your goodness and grace. Even if others don't know it, we know it. And we bless you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. It is something, really something to know that what he did all for you. All for you, as if there was nobody else but you. And boy, to experience that. Be like that thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Remember me in mercy. Remember me in grace. Remember I'm a sinner. Remember, I have no ability. Remember, I can't save myself. Lord, please be gracious. Oh, he did it all. He did it all for me. Here in verse 22, I want to say a few things about the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord. There are two types of blessings that God gives us in this world. Paul called it terrestrial and celestial. Earthly blessings, temporal blessings, and spiritual blessings. And the temporal things that he gives us, the terrestrial things that he gives us, are for just this life alone. Just this life alone. But the spiritual blessings he gives us, and they're all in Christ, All spiritual blessings are given us in Christ in heavenly places. The spiritual life for this life and the life to come, these spiritual blessings are not only for this life, but they're especially for the life to come. When we leave this world, leave all pain, all sorrow, all grief, all troubles, all sickness, every tear, never to ever shed another one. Oh my, what blessings that God gives us. Now there's lots and lots and lots and lots of people in this world that all they're going to get is what they get in this world, their temporal blessings in this world. That's all they're going to ever have. They're never going to have any more than what they have in this world. And they're going to leave it all behind, no matter how important it is, or how big it is, or how successful they were, or how poor they were, and how unsuccessful they were. Some people, all they'll ever have is what they have in this world. They'll never have a spiritual blessing. They'll never know what it is to sing, "He did it all for me. Oh, praise the Lord, each drop of blood he shed for me. He did it all for me." And I need both. I need God's temporal blessings, and I need His spiritual blessings. And I want the spiritual blessings more than I want the temporal. And don't you appreciate God's blessings on you in this life? Oh, His blessings. His blessed blessings. And all here it says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He added with it no sorrow. And I tell you what, that's and what he's saying here is that God is the sovereign dispenser of material wealth. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. Now look over with me. You keep that and look over in 1 Samuel with me. Look over in 1 Samuel 2:7. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 7. You know, and he's saying here, the blessings of the Lord maketh rich. And God's the one who gives out, if there's any material wealth that a man has in this world, God's the one that makes him wealthy. And whether he receives it by birth or whether he receives it by inheritance, whatever way it comes from God. God maketh rich, and with it he addeth no sorrow. And you know, it comes by gift, and he moved the giver to give it by his providence, no matter how you get your money. But look what he said here in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 7. Look at verse 6. Let's get the whole context here. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. So whether you're poor, whether you're rich, no matter what condition you're in, it's the Lord that causes it to happen. Is that not right? And I tell you, if our wealth or anything that we have and any success we have comes by hard work or any skill that we have or being thrifty or being frugal, God's the one that gives you the talent and the nature to do that. And I try to tell people that. If you've got a talent and you're successful in life and you're very, very skillful at taking care of your money and you're being thrifty in that, and whether you become through hard work, everything you get that way, God is the one that gave you the talent to do that. He's the one that makes the difference. How come two people start out on the same job, one goes to the top and the other stays right where he started? Who makes the difference in that? The man didn't make it himself. It appears that he did. But God's the one that does that. And he directs it use whichever way he wants to. And that's clear from the scripture. Let me show you over in Genesis 24. Look at Genesis 24. This is clear from the scripture. This is amazing. I read this the other day and I thought, my, my. Genesis 24 and verse 35. Look what it says here about Abraham. And so man can't glory in his ability. It's God's gift, whatever it is. I know a lot of successful people in this world. There's a fellow that's dead and gone, had his own jet, and He flew Henry around, and he's laid on my couch and slept, and he was a very, very, very wealthy, wealthy man. But you'd have never known it by the way he lived and by the way he acted. Had lots of people working for him. He didn't glory in his. He knew that everything he had, he got it from God. And then there's other people that all they do is walk around and show you everything they got and said, "Boy, look what my hand's done. Look what my." It's like that rich fool who said, "Oh, listen, I've got so much stuff, you know, that I've got to tear down my boards and build some new and fill it up. I've got so many goods." And the Lord says, "You fool. You fool, I require your soul tonight. Then, who shall these things be?" But look what he said here about Abraham. And this is what his servant went to go get a wife for Isaac. And this is what he said in Genesis 24:35. "And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great." You see, I said, "The Lord hath blessed my master greatly." He didn't say Abraham is a real industrious man. He didn't say Abraham is a good manager. He didn't say Abraham got all this by the works and labors of his hands. It says, "The Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great." And listen to what I said, "And he hath given him," who hath? God hath given him "flocks and herds and silver and gold and men service, maid service and camels and asses." He said the Lord did that. Now look over here in Genesis 26:12. This is an amazing verse of scripture to me. It said here that Isaac was over in Abimelech's country. And it says there in verse 12. "Then Isaac sowed in that land," and listen to this, "and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him." Did you know? And that's what's wonderful about living in this life. You know how we live? We live from the Lord's hands to our mouth. Now that's the way we actually live in this world. That's the way we live. And I tell you, if trouble or sorrow or an accusing conscience accompanies the enjoyment of the use of God's blessing, it's our fault. You know what is said in Proverbs 30? Look in Proverbs 30. We've looked at this so many times. But Proverbs 30. Oh, I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing to know where everything comes from. That's why, you know, Job, he was the wealthiest man in the East. And he says the Lord took everything he had, including his health. And he says, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And look what he said here in Proverbs 30 and verse 7. "Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die." Don't withhold them from me before I die. "Remove far from me vanity and lies." Don't let me be vain and don't let me tell lies. Don't let me live a life of vanity, lying to myself and lying to other people. "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. Give me my allowance." And here's the reason he said this: "Lest I be full and deny the Lord, or lest I and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Oh my. The blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he hath no sorrow to it. And I'll tell you another way he's made us rich. Exceptionally rich. We're riches, and we have the riches of Christ, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory. All the wealth that God had, he gave it to his Son. All the wealth that God had in this universe, he turned it over to his Son. He get all the grace that there is in this world, you're going to get it through my Son. He's so rich in grace that he's been given it from the first man, and he'll give it to the last man, and he still will have more grace than he has. He'll have as much grace as he did when he started. And oh, he gives us the riches of his glory. Hey, Paul says, you know, you're enriched in Christ. That means you're made wealthy in Christ. Could we begin to tell the wealth and the riches and the glory and the riches of His grace and all of His kindness towards us in this life? We sung that song, Amazing Grace, when this poor heart and flesh shall fail, I shall possess within the veil a life of joy and peace. And all untold riches that we have and blessed with Christ. Riches and whatever Christ has, we have. Whatever wealth He has, we have. Ever how much grace He has, we have. Ever how much blessings He has, we have. Whatever His inheritance is, it's ours. And let's look over in Psalm 65. Psalm 65. I'm going to go through some of these blessings of the Lord. Let's look at some of these blessings of the Lord. Psalm 65. As the one the Lord gives us. Oh, the wealth, the riches, if we have it, God gives it. God gives it. And oh, listen what He said in Psalm 65 and 4. Oh, here's a blessing from the Lord. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. You know, when it says, blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. The primary reference here is to the Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus. Blessed is the man Thou choosest. You see, Christ was God's first elect. He was chosen of God. He was elected of God. His humanity was chosen of God to be in union with the Godhead. God chose the womb He would come through, chose the humanity and the body He would dwell in, and make under people to understand that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Him bodily. He said in Isaiah 42 and 1, behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. You know, and Zechariah called Him in verse 7 of chapter 13, said He is the Lord's fellow. He's the Lord's fella. He's the one that God says, this is my fella. He's the one that God said, this is the heir of all things. This is the one that God says, if you listen to anybody and hear anybody, hear Him. Hear Him. Now listen to me now. The Lord Jesus Christ was not chosen for us. Was not chosen for us. But He was chosen for God. He was chosen for God. He was God's Lamb. When Isaac asked Abraham, said, where is the lamb? He says, my son, God will provide Himself a lamb. And He did provide Himself a lamb. The lamb was for God. Christ came to honor God. Christ came to satisfy God. Christ came to obey God. Christ came to fulfill the law. Christ came to be our representative. Christ came to do everything in His humanity that you and I could never possibly, ever possibly do. He wasn't chosen for us. But I tell you what, we were chosen in Him. He was chosen to be the head of a race. He was chosen for His humanity, where He'd be born, that He'd be a man, perfect man, sinless man. Even that dying thief on the cross, he says, this man hath done nothing amiss. I'm here because I need to be here. I'm justly here. And our Lord says, today you'll be in me in paradise. And beloved, that means there is therefore, once Christ tells you that, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And oh, we were chosen in Christ. He was the chosen one of a race. Adam had his race. Adam had his descendants. In Adam we all die. In Christ we shall all be made alive. And we were chosen in Christ not only to be His elect and His people and chosen in Him in union with Him, but we were chosen to be His bride, to be one that's going to be joined to Him, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Oh, hymn writer says, Christ is my first elect, he said, then chose our souls in Christ the head. And in the blessing of election, all other blessings are wrapped up in this business of election. All the blessings that we enjoy, that we were chosen in Christ, and all the blessings in elections wrapped up in that election. Our faith is wrapped up in it. Our repentance is wrapped up in it. Our righteousness, our holiness, our acceptance, everything is wrapped up in this blessing of election. Because we were chosen in Christ, and everything that we required and every condition that had to be met, Christ met them all. Christ met them all. And the essence of all blessings is to be in Christ. To be in Christ. Not to know some things about Him, but to know Him. And I tell you, the essence of all blessings is to be in Christ. Of all the places you can be, the safest place, the most blessed place to be, is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how we get in Christ? By an act of God. By an act of God. It was an act of God that chose Him. It's an act of God that chose us in Him. It was an act of God that came and called us to Him. It was an act of God that put us in Him. It was an act of God that keeps us in Him. It was an act of God that gave us the new heart, the new nature, and all that we need to trust Christ with. It's an act of God. In fact, the Scripture says we were chosen in Him. Chosen in Him. When were we chosen in Him? Before the foundation of the world. That's an act of God that done that. We didn't even know it had took place. Before that took place before we were born. Huh? All right, let's look at another blessing. Psalm 89. Let's look at another blessing. Christ was the one who was that chosen man. Psalm 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. You see there in verse 15 says, blessed is the people. This is a blessing from God. The people that know the joyful sound. Joyful sound. Did the gospel ever become a joyful sound to you? Oh, the joyful sound of the gospel. But you can't hear this. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. That know it when they hear it. Now, you can't hear unless you have ears. And you can't hear sound if you've never heard sound before. And look in John 5:24. Look in John 5:24. Look what our Lord said here. You know, you can't hear without ears. And you can't hear a sound you never heard. And that's why our Lord Jesus Christ is here in John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Now, where do you get the ear to hear that? And believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. We know what it is to pass from life to death. But God said that he does things just the opposite. He brings you from death to life. And look what he said in verse 25. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. Hear the voice. Blessed is he that knoweth that joyful sound. Hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. My sheep shall hear my voice. And a stranger will they not follow. And when God gives sight to see, and sound to be an ear to hear, you get ears to hear, the saved start recognizing spiritual things that they never recognized before. Like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And people let it go at that. But then how shall they call on him and whom they've never heard? You got to hear something. And where do you get the ears to hear? He's not talking about these natural ears. I mean, everybody hears, comes and hears the same message by every time. They hear with the ear. But if they don't hear with a spiritual ear, then they don't get anything. And that's what he's talking about. So then, how shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And he said, who has believed our purpose? Who's believed our preaching? Isaiah said, who's believed it? He said, the sounds went everywhere, but who's believed it? He said, I'll tell you who did. He said, I was found of them that wasn't even looking for me. I was found of them that wasn't even looking for me. Huh? And they found me who was not even seeking after me. That's the people that heard that sound. That's the people that know the joyful sound. It's like when Aaron went into the holy place and came back out. What a joyful sound unto the people. You read it in Exodus 28. It says there that Aaron, he had on this high priestly robe that he had. Oh, just drugged the ground just almost. Had a pomegranate and then a golden bell. A pomegranate, a golden bell. A pomegranate, a golden bell, all the way around that skirt. You know why them bells was on there? So they could hear him working and laboring and representing them before God and the mercy seat in that holiest of holies. I mean, every time he moved, they'd hear them bells. They'd hear them golden bells. That was a joyful sound to them people. And when he came back out, and they heard him walking back out of that temple, walking out of that tabernacle, and that robe on them golden bells, they said, oh, God didn't kill him. God received an offering. God accepted us for another year. Our sins has been put away. And oh, it was a joyful sound to hear the trumpets which called Israel to their feast. And then on the year of Jubilee, 50 years, every 50 years of Jubilee. And you know what happened on the year of Jubilee? Every man who owed a debt, every man who was a slave, every man who lost his inheritance, when they sounded that trumpet on the year of Jubilee, every man got his debt forgiven, every man got set free, and a man who had lost his inheritance got every bit of it back. Oh, that, you know, when they heard that trumpet sound on the year of Jubilee, all them people in debt said, oh, Lord, thank you. Them bondmen, them slaves, they said, oh, I get to go free today. And the fellow said, I lost my inheritance. That guy took it. Well, he gets it back that day. He gets it all back. Do you imagine how that trumpet sounded to then? Huh? Thank God for the joyful sound. Blessed is the people who know the joyful sound. Huh? Let me show you another. Psalm 2. Another blessing from the Lord. Psalm 2. Another blessing from the Lord. Look what it says down in the last line of Psalms 2. The last sentence in Psalm 2. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Now that's a blessing from the Lord. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh my, well look what happened. This is why blessed is the people who put their trust in the Lord. He said in verse 1, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? I mean, people are raging and they're imagining, you know, that they're going to put God out of business, that they're running this world and running everything that's in this world. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Jehovah, against the Lord Jesus Christ and against his anointed. Said, oh, listen, let's break his bands asunder. We'll not have this man to reign over us. Let's tear his cords off of us. He's not going to keep us in bondage. We're not going to do what he says. And look what it says. Well, let them do what they want to do. And you know what it says? God sits in the heavens and he just laughs at them. He just laughs at them. Huh? He just sits and laughs. These fools, these fools actually think they're upsetting me and they're going to actually cast me off and not have anything to do with me. He said, listen, I own their breath. And he just laughs at them. And then he'll speak in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. And he says, in spite of what you did to my Savior, in spite of what you did about my son, and in spite of how you hated him, I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. And I'm going to declare the decree. The Lord says, you're my son. I've begotten you today. I don't care what everybody thinks about you. This is what I'm going to do. And he says, now since you're my son, ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. And I'll give the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. I'll give it all into your hands. And he said, and oh, listen, when judgment comes, you know what you'll do? You'll break them with a rod of iron. Dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Just break them up. So be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. You better listen to what the Lord says. Serve the Lord with fear and trembling. And then look what he says. Kiss the Son. Bow in submission to the Son. Kiss him. Kiss him with the kisses of your mouth. Kiss him in faith. Kiss him in love. Kiss him in joy. And that kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Of, oh, we're going to bow in submission to his kingly rule. And then he says, when his wrath is kindled, listen. And that's why he says, blessed are they that put their trust in him. And that word trust means to take refuge in him. What blessed people that take refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. Refuge from sin. Refuge from self. Refuge from the world. Refuge from everything that's against us. Refuge for our own thoughts and our own feelings. Refuge from ourselves. Now, look in Psalm 32, and let me show you another blessing. Psalm 32. Oh, look here, what a blessing. Look here, what a blessing. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputes not iniquity. Oh my. To have your sins forgiven. To have your sins, all your transgressions forgiven. Sin is a transgression of the law. How many transgressions have we committed in our life? And he says, blessed is the man whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Doesn't charge him with sin. Doesn't account sin to his account. Iniquity's forgiven, sin's covered. And listen, you know who covers them? God covers them. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's like that ark was covered with the mercy seat in the tabernacle, in the holiest of holies. It's covered with blood, and that mercy seat was over it. That ark over that law. And Noah, his covered in that ark when the flood came. And what a cover it must be that hides forever from the sight of an all-seeing God, an omnipotent God, an omniscient God, an all-seeing God, an all-knowing God. What a cover it must be that hides forever from the sight of God himself, all the filthiness, all the sinfulness of the flesh and sinfulness of the spirit. Gone. Gone. Covered. God don't see it. What a blessing. What a blessing from God. God looks and said, he looked for Jacob and said, looked at Jacob and said, he looked for iniquity in Jacob and said, I can't find it. I can't find it. I can't find it. Psalm 84:5. Let me give you this one. Psalm 84 and verse 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. What a blessing from God to know that all your strength is in him. Huh? And your heart are in the ways of knowing this. A child of God sees that not only he has no righteousnesses of his own, but he's out without any strength of his own. In due time, Christ died. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Our Lord Jesus said it this way in John 15, 5. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Didn't say you could do a few things. He said, you could do nothing without him. And I tell you that he's also, and we also not only don't have no righteous, but that we also know we have no strength of our own. I'm acutely aware that I have no spiritual strength of all. None whatsoever. Our strength is in Christ. He is our strength. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. He says, when I'm weak, Christ's strength is made perfect in my weakness. The weaker I am, the more Christ gets the glory. Our strength is in Christ. We have none. I have none. You may have some, but I don't. How do we fight the good fight of faith if he's not our strength? How do we resist temptations? How do we endure persecutions if he's not our strength? How do we remain loyal? How do we remain faithful? Why do we keep coming to hear the gospel if he's not our strength? Huh? He is our strength. Would you ever try to stand on your own? Would you ever want to try to stand on your own before God? Huh? Would you? Oh, blesses that man whose strength is in you. Whose strength is in you. And the last one, Psalm 128. Let me give you this one. And I'll let you go. I know it's hot in here. I don't know why it's hot. We ain't got no heat on or nothing. Just the fan's blowing is all I know. Psalm 128 and verse 1. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way. You see, blessed is he that feareth the Lord, everyone that feareth the Lord. Oh, to fear God. What a blessing it is to fear God. To stand in awe of God. The fear of God keeps us from doing things. And I mean, I'm talking about fear. I'm not just talking about the awe and the reverence. I'm talking about the fear. I'm afraid of God and doing things that would prove that I don't know God. I fear him that much. I fear him in the sense that there's certain things you can't do and you wouldn't do because of the consequences of it. And look what it says. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and listen to this, walking in his ways, that walketh in his ways. Fear of God and walking in his ways go hand in hand. If you fear him, you're going to walk before him. If you fear him, you're going to walk in his ways. You're going to walk in his word. You're going to walk in his will. You're going to walk in the ways of God, in the ways of the scripture, in the way of grace. You're going to walk in the way of grace. You're going to walk in the way of Christ. You're going to walk in the way of tenderness and kindness and forgiveness and mercy. And mercy. And mercy. Oh, blessings, God's blessings. Lord, your blessings are more than can be numbered. More than can be numbered. Your Bible, your word is full of blessings. Blessings. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Oh Lord, you say so many things about how you've blessed your people. And these blessings come from you. We would never, if you hadn't blessed us, we'd never fear you. If you hadn't blessed us to see you to be our strength, we'd be standing in our own strength. If you hadn't blessed us to see that our sins are gone, that they're covered, that you don't charge us with iniquity and sin, we'd never known that, know what it is to be forgiven, to not have any sin. Oh, Lord, blessed be your holy name for all your blessings, all the riches you've given us in Christ, all the blessings you give us in this world. But we especially, especially thank you for the blessings concerning the life to come, that we're already seated together with Christ in the heavenly places, that as far as your will and purpose decree is done, we're already glorified with our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're here but just a moment, and then we'll go to our long home and enjoy these spiritual blessings throughout eternity. Thank you for them. Meet the needs of this congregation as they go home and deal with their own lives in their own homes and their jobs. Ask your great and glorious blessings upon them for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. You're at